The Spectator magazine combines incisive political analysis with books and arts reviews of unrivaled authority. Subscribe today for just £12 and receive a 12-week subscription in print and online. Plus, we'll give you a £20 Amazon gift voucher, absolutely free. Go to spectator.co.uk/voucher.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm joined by Katie Bors and Spectator contributor Patrick O'Flynn. Now, Katie, last night we had the vote on the Rwanda bill in the Commons. Tell us about how that went.
So it went fairly well for the government in the sense they managed to strip out all 10 amendments that were sent back from the House of Lords. And that was done with little in the way of internal Tory drama. So I think in terms of recent standards, that is a victory for Rishi Sunak. If you think about all the struggles at second and third reading, where you had one part of the Tory party led by Robert Jenrick and Suella Braverman ultimately say the bill was not going to work. And it seemed you'd have this unholy alliance between Labour and the Tory rebels to try and stop the bill. Those days are now over. Since the bill was sent to the Lords, I think the view amongst the rebels has been, well, we tried to change it to try and get number 10 to come back with a tougher bill. That hasn't worked. But now that opportunity is gone. We're not going to be wreckers on this bill for no reason. So you saw MPs staying up pretty late, 10 votes, lots of time to plot or talk about how much they love their leader, probably the former, as they got these out. Now the question is, will the Lords put back in the amendments or some of these amendments? And therefore, we have a long game of ping pong between the Commons and the House of Lords, which is going to delay the point to which the bill receives royal assent, which in turn would delay when flights could potentially get off the ground. Now, Labour figures suggest that there are about 7 of the amendments of the 10 that they would like to go back in. They might support going back in. And it will really go to tomorrow in the House of Lords to see where they are. One thing to bear in mind is Rishi Sunak recently added various Tory peers, ennobled allies of his, to the House of Lords. So therefore, they'll be hoping that some of this recent influx will help them with the numbers to defeat them. Though, as I understand it, not all those figures have actually been brought into the upper house yet. Not everyone there is going to be able to vote on it. And therefore, the question is also, will Labour decide to do as they are suggesting and try and put their members back in? Or will they walk away from it? Because the line from number 10 is effectively, do not frustrate the will of the people, which does lead you to the question of, is it in Rishi Sunak's interest to be able to blame Labour, blame the Lords for stopping the policy and delaying it once again? Or actually, does he really need it to receive royal assent? I think personally, given he is not receiving any credit, you look at current polling for pushing this through, in the sense it doesn't feel as though the anger in a really visceral way is on those forces who that have stopped the bill going through. It feels as more just a sense that the bill isn't going to work. So I think he is more in the camp of needing this to get royal assent, given the tricky situation it's in, to have a chance of some flights going off in what is looking to be like the very difficult month of May.
Patrick, what's your money on what might happen in the Lords tomorrow?
Well, I very much agree with Katie that actually I think both sides have taken the calculation that it's in Sunak's interests to get the legislation through as quickly as possible. It's in Labour's interests to string it out and play it long, certainly so you go into the local elections with no sign of flights getting off the ground, and to stretch it, you know, as late as possible into the summer. You know, and this is slightly dirty politics, but hoping that they'll, from a Labour point of view, that it'll be seen that the boats are still coming almost as fast as they ever have. I don't think there's any public traction in old Labour and the Lords frustrating my great measure, because public cynicism is so high about the measure. However, I do personally think that once the bill receives royal assent, it's not impossible that it could work. I think on balance, long term, it won't be a durable, comprehensive solution. But in the short term, it might have the appearance of working because of the deterrent effect. And if, you know, we read about there's only going to be a couple of hundred in the first year. But if we get to the stage where everyone on the French side of the channel who wants to come across knows that the next 3 boatloads of people will all end up in Rwanda, no one will pay a people smuggler to be in one of those boats. And if the next 3 boats don't come, then the boats will appear to have stopped, right? So I think for that reason, Labour will work very hard with the other opposition parties to try and get at least one stage more of parliamentary ping pong and to stretch this out, knowing that the pressure on Rishi Sunak from lots of other difficult problems from his own party is growing and growing and growing. They feel they've completely boxed him in. But, you know, this would be a difficult issue for Starmer. If the bill got through and started to work with him having said, we'll scrap it, whatever, that has the potential to somewhat shift opinion polls. And I think were Labour's 20-point lead suddenly to be down to 12, you would see all kinds of panic in Labour ranks. So I think the Lords' votes tomorrow are very important and are going to be very close.
And I think in terms of operational, in terms of how quick it will be to get this operational if the bill does receive royal assent, you have Home Office sources and government sources who, because I think people are so sick of these promises on what's going to happen on immigration generally, but particularly on Rwanda, if you think about when it was first unveiled by Priti Patel and Boris Johnson, they don't want to have any, you know, raising of expectations or need to miss their deadlines. And therefore, you know, they don't give firm figures, but there is a sense that you will have to have some time after the bill becomes royal assent before anything will actually happen. It's not going to be an overnight thing, but you could potentially in around 6 weeks, given some say 6 weeks, I wonder if it's a little bit less than that, start to get to the point where flights are taking off. I think one of the disagreements between the Tory rebels and Number 10 back when this bill was being drafted is that I think in government there is a sense of don't waste this fight on perfection. Let's find what we think is the most likely landing zone whereby we can have flights taking off and we can get it through the Commons and the House of Lords and vaguely keep the Tory party together. And I think the full fat version, which some on the right wanted, is probably what would be needed to have this happen on scale in the future if you want to take it to a point where it is very comprehensive. I think, to Patrick's point, I agree with him. I think what is being pushed at the moment is the planes may well be half empty. You can still have individual appeals in all these aspects, but you will still have the act of flights going. And I think within the time limits between now and the election, it was seen as the best option there. And if somehow the Tories did win a fifth term, which right now I think is such an if that some people probably think I'm deluded as I say it, but just if they did, they would probably have to look at, have a look at toughening this up, I think,
right,
in terms of what they would do within that fifth term. But this is almost the stopgap option to try and actually show that they have achieved something and probably could have that initial deterrent effect, depending on how it plays out.
And Patrick, how do the timings work out here? Because as Katie says, there could be a long lead time. So is the government going to be tempted to call an election later to give this more chance of working?
It's terribly difficult to say because the later they go, that leaves the summer, which is peak sort of boat crossing season to come. You're right, there are various sort of loopholes and individual appeals that could delay things. There's also the prospect of those alerted to the fact that they will be on the flights who aren't held in any kind of detention could disappear in quite large numbers for a while, which would be embarrassing again. I mean, Rishi Sunak technically has said he expects the flights to start taking off before the end of spring. So he's kind of put himself under a bit of pressure there. I don't see the initial kind of impact being so great that it brings forward like a late June or early July election. But as I say, there is just a chance that a few flights go and it has an early deterrent effect on people about whether to pay a people smuggler to take them across, and then has the appearance of working, in which case suddenly Keir Starmer's in a much trickier position. And having watched Keir Starmer over the recent couple of years, if this issue leads to a fall of the Labour poll rating, a rise of the Tory poll rating, I predict he will do a U-turn and say, oh, well, I might keep this scheme after all, but we'll modify it somehow.
Interesting. And that would be to head off to prevent that election from becoming closer if, in your scenario, the 20-point lead becomes more narrow to 12 points or something.
Yes, I think he's kind of ultra cautious and ultra focused on being one of the very few Labour leaders of the opposition to win a general election. And, you know, any baggage will get chucked out of the balloon.
But you're not saying that the Conservatives would necessarily win the election if they got Rwanda off the ground?
No, I think the Conservative position is just too parlous to make that at all likely.
I think there's obviously there's a lot of space between winning an election and having a total wipeout. And therefore, I think you can have things going right for a party that are still significant on their own terms, A, in terms of what they mean in policy, and then B, in terms of the general political landscape after that election. So I think Flights to Rwanda, and there'll be someone saying, people think this is just a slogan-y type gimmick anyway. It's not going to address the main things. But I still think, given the level of criticism that they've had both from the Reform Party and from Labour, that this just isn't going to work, it'd be a significant moment.
And Katie, little talked about in the midst of all this Tory psychodrama is something going on in the Justice Department when it comes to prisons. Tell us about what's been going on.
So we currently have a problem whereby there is not enough space in prisons, there is overcrowding, and there is a question about what you're going to do with the overspill. Now, this led to issues last week whereby I think there was a tense situation between Alex Chalke, the Justice Secretary, and Number 10, because ultimately one of the plans they're looking at is to scrap shorter sentences to ease overcrowding in jail. So now, one of the reasons Number 10 has not brought this in is because they know as soon as they do, they're going to face a rebellion on the right of the party, figures potentially such as Suella Braverman, Liz Truss, others. But the issue in terms of government is that the prisons are becoming so full. If you don't do that, where are you actually going to put these people? And it's now reaching that point. So I think that Number 10 is under pressure to start moving towards this, and this can happen very soon. But it's going to be another area where a beleaguered prime minister who's already under a lot of pressure is going to put himself at odds with part of the party that is exactly the one that is most likely to go for him. That said, there's talk that Liz Truss is signing some of these amendments and others. I think there is a problem. And at the moment, because we had 14 years of Tory government, it applies more to Tories. But often the answer to every question when people need to do a policy answer is tougher sentences. You see the Tories do it, you see Labour do it. But no one actually wants to find the money to build more prisons because it's not a very popular thing to do. And eventually, I think this is something that is going to have to give.
Yeah, I think the Tories are in a disastrous position on this. The Chief Inspector of Prisons has warned that some people may be released early. And the kind of the amount of earliness of the releases is going up all the time. I think it's about to reach 60 days in some cases. And there's potential violent offenders coming out who could be a threat to the general public, you know. And the Tory, one of the few Tory things they could potentially still grasp is party of law and order. I think that's gone with this. It's notable to me that Keir Starmer, you know, despite his kind of chief prosecutor background, hasn't really grasped that we're the party of law and order now stick to beat the Tories with. But that would be an option open to him. Now, he privately is probably along the lines that Katie was setting out, a bit more of a reformer and not such a tough guy after all. But he would have a fairly credible attack line on the Tories for not building sufficient prison capacity and letting dangerous people out early, you know, particularly on some very sensitive categories of crime, you know, offenders against women coming out early. I think the Conservatives are in massive trouble on this as well, and failure to expand the prison estate, you know, has been a very long-term failing of successive Conservative prime ministers.
Patrick and Katie, thanks very much. And thank you very much for listening at home. Now, if you enjoy this podcast, do give us a rating and review, and why not tell a friend about it too.